First, I would like to thank the organizers of this conference for giving me the opportunity to speak here despite the short notice. This talk will not be about what is indicated in the title of the conference in the strict sense. Rather, it will be about infinity categories in the weak sense. So weak infinity categories, also called weak omega categories. Okay, I don't want to give you the umpteenth definition, or rather proposal thereof, of what this expression here should stand for. Rather, I want to speak about a definition which has already been proposed by Michael Mackay. And I don't want to speak about the whole definition, I just want to speak about one particular aspect of it, namely the decisive structure here in this definition is that of a multi-topic set. So, in fact, in the end, he can say that the weak infinity category is a multi-topic set with certain properties. So, this shows you that this concept is rather strong because we don't need any extra structure to say in the end what we mean by weak infinity category. Okay, this concept has been defined in a quite longish paper, which has been published in three parts, which may give you an indication that it's not a simple notion. The definition uses the, a concept of multi-category, which is slightly different from the standard concept, and this is basically it. I had difficulties understanding this this definition, and so I decided to come up with my own one, and this is what this talk will be about. In my own definition, I will call these things differently. I will not speak of multi-topic sets, I will speak of dendrotopic sets. Now, I'm doing this for three reasons. I don't know how to weigh them. Well, firstly, of course, it's a different definition, so at some point I have to show that the definitions are equivalent. My definition will have nothing to do with multi-categories, which is why the multi has come in here in the first place. Robert will have something to do with trees at some point, and therefore I put the Greek word for tree in there. And thirdly, I think my name is a little bit nicer. Now you want to know what the dendrotopic set is. And I tell you it consists of dendrotopes, just as, for example, a globular set consists of globes, or a simplicial set without degeneracies consists of simplices. In just the same matter, a dendrotopic set will consist of dendrotopes. Okay, so now you would expect me to tell you what dendrotopes are, but instead, I'll try to give you an example, or examples of dendrotopes. Okay, the definition is actually pretty similar to that of globes. Now, what are globes? Okay, I'll draw a few. So globes are certain polytopes that I can define by just saying that there are precisely two facets, one source facet and one target facet. Well, I guess except for the zero-dimensional one, which is just a point. So the one-dimensional case, I have one source, one target, and I would draw something like this. In two dimensions, and of course these facets themselves are globes. And in three dimensions, then you get this. Now in particular for globes, I can draw just one picture in each dimension. This will be different for dendrotopes. Here I make, in principle, the same rough definition, but here I give you the freedom of choosing as many source facets as you like at each stage. Well, except for the one-dimensional stage, which is a bit different. So hence, in the two-dimensional stage, you can not only draw this, though here you have one source arrow, but you can also have two source arrows, for example. Or when I say arbitrarily many, then it can also be zero. And let me draw, just for the heck of it, a few three-dimensional examples, which are of certain importance. So, of course, the one target facet only remains. What was the other one? Okay, I can draw something like this. Okay, now, the idea that you should get when you see these pictures and when you hear the names, is that these things are special kind of polytopes. Now, if I say polytope, then I don't necessarily mean the polytopes, the most well-known polytopes, the convex ones, which are defined as the convex closure of finitely many points in affine space, of which I would then be interested in the face lattice, which is just a discrete structure. Rather, I'm thinking of, obviously, I cannot realize this thing, for example, as a convex polytope in the sense I just mentioned, because the faces would have to be straight, and this would be rather difficult here. So I'm going to use a definition that has already been proposed, which allows for things like this one to be polytopes. And this is quite a standard one. So, now I can't see them at the same time, but I can get around that, I hope. Okay, let me give you this definition. A polytope, let's call it X, is an ordered set that satisfies certain property. First of all, there is a biggest element and a smallest element. Let's call them top and bottom, respectively. Secondly, every maximal chain has the same length. Now, and in fact, has length n plus 1, where n is the dimension of the polytope. And chain is this, has just the usual meaning. Length means the number of elements of the chain minus 1. So such a chain looks maybe like this, where I necessarily have the bottom and the top here. And so the number of elements would be n plus 2, which are these little dots. So the length here, if you measure the these lines in between, is n plus 1. Now, what this condition means, in other words, is that I have a homomorphism that preserves covers into the natural number, or into the integers, if you want. So one particular such homomorphism sends this guy to minus 1, and this I want to choose to assign dimensions to these guys. So this would be an equivalent way of saying this, that I have dimensions and cover, sorry, n minus 1, sorry, yes, thank you. Third condition. Okay, let me just tell you something and then explain later. Open length greater or equal to 3 intervals are connected. Okay, what do I mean by this? I mean, if you take two elements and you look, which are compatible, and you look at everything you find in between with the except these two chosen elements, then the thing should be connected. And if I say length greater or equal to 3, then I mean the difference in dimension of the two elements should be at least 3 for this to happen. And then I say open, which is kind of a stupid way of saying it, but since I have already written this, open length two intervals have two elements, which means if you take two elements which are compatible, and one is has dimension k minus 1, one has dimension k plus 1, and there are precisely two ways of completing this diagram, so to have these covers here in between. Now, if you look at my examples, then this thing here would look like this. So I'm drawing this, okay, in this case it's a lattice diagram. This ordered set. In this case, you can still do it. Well, you still have sort of a lattice diagram, even though the thing is not a lattice. But at this point, you will have a little problem, because how would you interpret this as a as an ordered set? So the solution here is to be a little bit more open-minded and replace this ordered set here by category. A category with a terminal and an initial object. And now translate everything else what I say into the new context. So by a chain, I would mean a part in the underlying graph that contains no identity arrows. And, okay, you have to be a bit careful what you mean by maximal here. So I have to allow factorizations as well as putting things at the ends. But anyway, I can as well say that I have these dimensions here. I interpret these lines here as arrows pointing upwards, even though I don't draw the tip of the arrows. And then what are these mysterious intervals? These are just category. So this would be, for a given arrow, the category of proper factorizations of this arrow. And these I want to be connected. And so here I have precisely two factorizations of such an arrow, which are not trivial. Okay. Oh, and I make another technical assumption here right away. I want this to be finite. So I cannot have an infinitigon. Well, I have a monogon, which is better, but now I don't have an infinitigon because I want them to be finite. Yes? Yes, 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 of course. Strictly two different things. Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's not a usual categorical axiom, I have to admit, but... now I have to hurry a bit. Okay, now the definition can be written this way. So first I'm telling you what I mean by a polytopic set. Polytopic set X is a category where all these co-sliced categories are polytopes. Now, if you look at the pictures. Okay, now I cannot. And you see I have actually something more than just a polytope. I have these nice little arrows, and I express these arrows now by saying, by assigning signs to my covers here. So such a co-dimensional one thing I call a cover, just for the sake of this talk. And now, for example, if it points, okay, so let's, oh, now here it's a little bit clearer. So if this point stands for this edge, and say this point stands for this point, then I would assign this a minus, and the other one here a plus, and so on and so forth. Okay. Pardon? Is that the slice category rather?
Into X,
yes. Into an object X. Is that co-slice or slice? Slice. Oh, I'm sorry. Because my arrows point upwards. I could do it the other way around, I guess. Okay, so I'm telling you what I mean by an oriented polytopic set. So I can, there is a way of viewing the whole business here, the orientations and the arrows as, adding a vector to the orientation of a boundary which points the way the arrow indicates. And this is just a term. And this is why you choose the term. So oriented polytopic sets will have this assignment, covers to signs. And there's one little condition, which I call sign flip, which is very natural both in the geometric interpretation and when you think about higher dimensional categories, which tells you that if you define the sign of such a chain to be the product of the signs, then the sign of these two chains are different. This re-emphasizes the answer to your question. Okay. Now I'm going to tell you the rest of the definition in 5 minutes. So this is an oriented polytopic set. If I have this additional piece of data and this axiom. Now a dendrotopic set can be defined to be an oriented polytopic set satisfying three additional conditions, which I call delta 1, delta 2, and delta 3a, which I should tell you about. Well, delta 1 is pretty clear. So if you give me an object X, which is not the bottom here, then there is precisely one positive. It covers precisely one other thing positively. Well, in the ordered set kind of terminology, which means there is precisely one such arrow which has a positive sign into it. Delta 2, I probably have, unfortunately, no time to explain. It says that the negative dual hemigraph of each object is a tree. Now, it's a pretty straightforward concept. A hemigraph, I can explain it. A hemigraph is, I call a hemigraph something that is defined like a graph, but the operation source and target can be partial. And now I would assign to this thing, so these are the two negative facets. These would be the vertices of the negative dual hemigraph. And then I have certain arrows. Each ridge that you see will correspond to an arrow. The ridges are the two codimensional faces, and I want this to be always a tree. So for this thing here, it's this tree. And tree means I have a path from everywhere to a certain arrow. Delta 3 has two parts, A and B, and it says whenever I have an arrow with codimension equal to 3, then I can write it in precisely one or two ways, depending on what you want to read here. So the positive arrow here, and then one codimension 2 arrows, which itself I can write in two different ways. And these are, so I have exactly one. This is delta 3. Delta 3a says, I shouldn't make a mistake. It says at most one. And b says at least one. And now I have no time to tell you that I have a few theorems about these things. The first one is that I can also just require delta 1 and delta 3. Okay. First theorem is also delta 3b. Second is I can also take these two to define the things. And third theorem is that dendrotopic sets form, are precisely the target closed free generating sets for strict infinity categories in some sense. And since Mackay has proven the same thing for multitopic sets, the definition is the right one. Thank you.